Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome to our live Bible discussion with Emily and Sherilyn Medrano, and we're basing these discussions on the book Believe by Randy Frazee. And in this series, we'll be discussing chapter 19, which is titled Giving My Resources. And our key question is, how do I best use my resources to serve God and others? And our key idea is, I give my resources to fulfill God's purposes. Our key verse is 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 7, and it says, since you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in the love we have kindled in you, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. Amen. Before we dive any further, we're going to yield the floor to Sister Sterling so she can open us up with prayer.
Amen. Father God, thank you for allowing us to be here to fulfill your will, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
To spread the gospel, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you for strengthening us, for guiding us, for being us in the path of righteousness.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you for giving us your own one and only Son, mm-hmm. Jesus Christ, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
So he can be our Lord and
yes,
Savior, Lord.
Lord.
So he can be our example to learn how to give and live in the
yes,
earth
Lord.
From, Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen, amen, Sister Sarah. And what we believe in our hearts will also be expressed in the way we live, in the way we dedicate our time and resources. And what we were discussing in our previous chapter, giving our time compels us to give time to the church, compassion, and stewardship. And it also gives us our resources to dedicate our resources to fulfilling God's purposes and edifying his kingdom. Everything we have belongs to God, and we have been given clear instruction in his word how to offer our time and resources to help those in need and to help edify his kingdom and build his church.
Amen.
We also recognize that our God is the one and true God who loves us and has provided a way into relationship with him as children of his now and forever. And because of this, we surrender what rightfully belongs to him as an act of worship. And how
Amen.
We discussed in previous chapters, we are a living sacrifice to the Lord, so we are dead to our own ways and to our selfish ways. We are supposed to dedicate our life, our time, and our resources to the Lord.
Amen.
And to dive into this topic further, we're going to be discussing four key points. The first one is giving tithes and offering. The second one is advice from wise men. The third one is teaching from Jesus on money and giving. And the last and fourth one is generosity in action. But going to our first point, giving tithes and offering, we see that throughout the Old Testament, God's people set aside a tenth of their proceeds of land, herds, and flocks for God's purposes. This principle is called tithing. Giving a tithe started as a non-religious political tradition in the ancient world, where giving a tribute or tax of a tenth to the king was customary. This offering demonstrated allegiance to the monarch's kingdom. When we give the first tenth of our income to God's purposes, we declare our allegiance to God and his kingdom. Amen. So when we give tithing, it's 10% of our income straight off the top. We give it to the Lord. We give our first fruits to the Lord. And I'm going to be reading to you guys Genesis chapter 28, verses 10 to 22. And we see the story of Jacob and how Jacob, he left his land of his father. He was sent away. And when we see him wandering off, we see that he falls asleep. And in his dreams, the Lord gives him the vision. The Lord talks to him. And the Lord says to him, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you. I will watch you over you wherever you go. I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. And we know that the Lord is faithful and he keeps his promises.
Amen.
And then it says in the scripture, when Jacob woke up from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. He was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. Early in the morning, Jacob took the stone he had placed under his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. He called the place Bethel, though the city used to be called Luz. Then Jacob made a vow saying, if God will be with me and will watch over me on this journey I am taking and will give me food to eat and clothes to wear so that I return safely to my father's household, then the Lord will be my God, and this stone that I will set up as a pillar will be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will give you a tenth. So here we see that the Lord made a promise to Jacob. And we know that the Lord is faithful to his promise. And here Jacob made a vow and saying that if God was going to say this. Well, we know that he didn't have to say it because when the Lord says something, it is so. So here we see that it is so and it was so. And he promised. Here he said, "In of all that you give me." So here he acknowledges that what he gets, all these blessings are not of his will, but of the Lord's will. And he will give back the Lord, what is of the Lord. He will give it back to him for his purposes. And it is evident from many examples in the Bible that our offerings to God need not to be confined in our money, but can extend to our possessions, skill, labor, creativity, and time. How we discussed before in our previous chapter, giving of our time. It's not just money, but giving of ourselves, our time, and our resources is very crucial in building and edifying the kingdom of God and bringing glory to him on this earth realm.
Amen.
And remarkably, a point in Israel's history when the Israelites were at their most vulnerable state, wandering in the wilderness as nomads, they demonstrated their greatest generosity. God asked Moses to build a place called the tabernacle for him to dwell with his people. In order for this to happen, God's people needed to contribute their treasures and talents. Their generous response was so overwhelming that Moses had to tell them to stop bringing their gifts for the tabernacle. So we see when the Lord delivered the Israelites from Egypt that he didn't leave them empty-handed. We see in the scripture that when he showed all his power, the plagues that happened, that the Egyptians were scared of the God, the Lord Almighty, and his people. And they, when they sent them off, they gave them of valuable treasures, and we see that the Lord allowed that to happen so that they would be generous in giving for the building, the edifying of his tabernacle.
Amen.
So going into the scripture, we're going to Exodus chapter 35, verses 4 to 29, and we read, Moses said to the whole Israelite community, "This is what the Lord has commanded. From what you have, take an offering for the Lord. Everyone who is willing to bring the Lord an offering of gold, silver, and bronze, blue, purple, and scarlet yarn, and fine linen, goat hair, and ram skin dyed with red or other type of durable leather, wood, olive oil for light, spices for the anointing oil, and the fragrant incense, and oxen stones and other gems to be mounted on the ephod and breastplate." So here we see that everything that is being asked of them is to build and edify the tabernacle for the Lord so he can dwell and be there with the people. And going further along, the scripture says, "All who are skilled among you are to come and make everything the Lord has commanded." So here we see that people are giving of their physical resources, but they're also giving of their time. Here he says that those who are skilled among them to offer their time and resources to build what the Lord has commanded. And here we see listed in the scripture all the things that the Lord has commanded that was to be built for his tabernacle. And also we see going further down all the supplies that were needed to worship him and all the garments that were needed for the priest to wear.
Amen.
And going down, the scripture says, "Then the whole Israelite community withdrew from Moses' presence and everybody who was willing." And here what the word is that's being highlighted is willing, that the Lord appreciates. The Lord loves a cheerful giver and a willing giver. So here we see that the Lord wants us to be willing, and it's not forceful. He's never forced anything upon us. Even salvation, we are to take and receive and do it of our own will. Because that's how we show the Lord that we truly love him and we're dedicated to his purposes.
Amen.
Going back in the scripture, it says, "And those who were willing and hearts was moved on them came and brought forth an offering to the Lord for the work on the tent of meeting, for all its services and for all the sacrificed garments." So here we see that a lot was needed to create tabernacle to God's standards, but the people were willing. And they did it with a willing heart, and their heart was moved to do it because of the Lord's purposes, and they did so, and they did it successfully. All who were willing, men and women alike, came and brought gold jewelry of all kinds, and they also, the every skilled women, they spun with their hands the purple and blue and scarlet yarn that was required of them. And all the women who were willing and had the skill spun the goat hair. And the leaders brought the oxen stones and other gems to be mounted. And they also brought spices and olive oils. And then all the Israelite men and women who were willing brought to the Lord free will offerings for all the work that the Lord, through Moses, had commanded them to do. Amen, amen. Yeah. So here we see that we can still do this. We can still join the church and be willing and help, because the laborers are much needed. And going into Exodus chapter 36, it says that the people continue to bring free will offerings morning after morning. All the skilled workers who were doing all the work on the sanctuary left what they were doing and said to Moses, the people are bringing more than enough for doing the work the Lord has commanded. And then Moses gave an order, and they sent this word throughout the camp: no man or woman is to make anything else as an offering for the sanctuary. And so the people were restrained from bringing more because what they already had was more than enough to do all the work. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Lord. There was no lack. There was no lack in their lives. The Lord, when we do things according to his purposes and to his will, he gives us more than enough.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. While the Israelites moved from place to place in the wilderness during the time of Moses, they took a tabernacle with them whenever they relocated. 100 years later, after Israel had occupied the promised land and become a stable nation, the people once again generously gave from the resources which they acknowledged had come from God, and they built a permanent house worthy of God's presence.
Amen.
So here I am reading to you guys 1 Chronological chapter 29, verses 1 through 18. Then King David said to the whole assembly, "My son Solomon, the one who God has chosen, is young and experienced. The task is great, but this palatial structure is not fit for a man, is not for man, but for the Lord God." So here we see that he's telling the people that this is going to be a great task, because this is not going to be a structure for man, but for the Lord Almighty, the creator of all. And here he says that with all the resources he's provided for his God, and then he lists everything that he's provided. And then he also says that he also gives of his personal treasure, and he gives everything that he's provided.
Amen.
Amen. And then because of what he, the leader, the king, he's giving all the resources he has and his personal treasures. The leaders of the family and the officers of the tribes, they all saw what the king had willingly offered. He offered all the gold, all the silver he had, all the bronze, all the iron, all the wood, and everything that they also gave of the resources. They gave, it says here in the scripture, 5,000 talents of gold, silver, bronze, and iron. And then they also gave of their precious resources to build the house for the Lord. And when they all gathered together, they started praising the Lord, and that's what we should do. And in their praise, one of the things that stood out to me was, "But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand." Amen. So here they acknowledge and how we should, that everything that we have when we are blessed is because the Lord gives it to us, and we should give it back to him.
Amen. And now going on to the second point is advice from wise men. And giving away our money and resources is beneficial not only for the recipients, but also for us. When we give to edify the church and build the church up. And when we give, it will be given back to us.
Amen.
So when we make giving to God's purpose part of our regular spending habits, we honor God and keep greed at bay. And then we see, we're going to be reading here Proverbs chapter 3, and we're going to be seeing that how the writers of Proverbs offer the following words of wisdom regarding how we should handle what God has given us. And it says here, "Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and
Amen.
Your vats will brim over with new wine."
Amen.
And it says, and I felt like it says here, that when we honor the Lord and everything you're doing, clearing how you spend your money. So here we've been talking about in past chapters on how we're supposed to honor God with our bodies by praising Him and dancing Him with our voices, but we also have to do it on how we spend our money. And
amen.
Further on here it says, one person gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. And when you come to poverty, when you withhold your money, it's because you're not trusting God. If you
yes.
will be trusting God, you will give freely because you know that whenever you give freely and willingly, like Sister Ellen said, you will be given even back even more.
Amen,
and
amen.
You will have more than enough.
Amen, amen.
It says here in Proverbs chapter 11, verses 24-25, a generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed.
Mm.
And
amen.
Those who trust in their riches will fall, but the righteous will thrive like a green leaf.
Mm-hmm.
So when you don't put your... So don't trust in your money instead of God. Don't do that. God is the one that provides the money.
Amen.
So trust God. Trust
Amen.
The Lord.
Amen.
Because your riches will fail. Money is temporary.
Amen.
And we see in Solomon, one of the writers of Proverbs, and the son of King David, accumulated immense wealth during his lifetime. In the book of Ecclesiastes, traditionally considered to be written by Solomon, he reflects on his life and shares his words of wisdom with us regarding the dangers of wealth.
Mm-hmm.
Money itself is not evil, but the love of money can lead to sin.
Mm-hmm.
We see here that money is just a piece of paper, but it's the intention people have behind it that can lead to sin.
Amen.
The greed. So more wealth does not mean more satisfaction in life. To avoid falling victim to money's seductive lure, we are to use what we have for the Lord. We have to use the wisdom of God.
Amen.
To how to manage our money.
Amen.
Because our satisfaction comes from the Lord. So here I'm going to be reading for you Matthew verses chapter 2, verses 11 to 12. Because after the birth of Jesus, three men came from afar with gifts to visit him. They were likely astrologers from Persia, Southern Arabia, or another country who had been anticipating the arrival of King of the Jews for some time. Their advice for him doesn't come from the lips as much as from their actions. They gave him months of the time as he traveled to see him.
Mm.
They were honored men, yet they humbled themselves and bowed to the knees to worship Jesus.
Amen.
They also gave him costly gifts that were the best that they had to
mm-hmm.
give.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, the three wise men were sent to visit him. And it says here in Matthew chapter 2, on coming to the house, they saw a child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And they'd been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod and return to the country by another route. And here we see here that those three wise men presented Jesus with their best. We have to give God our best. And even if you don't have the finances to do so yet, do it with your actions. They did it with their actions because they presented Jesus with their best. And here we see also that in Solomon, we see that it says, whoever loves money has enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with their income. This is too meaningless. So your satisfaction comes from the Lord. No money in the world can compare to righteousness.
Amen.
As goods increase, so do those who consume them. And what benefit are to the owners except to feast their eyes on them? The sleep of a laborer is sweet, whether they eat little or too much. But as for the rich, their abundance permits them no sleep. I have seen a grievous evil under the sun. Health, wealth hoarded to the harm of its owners, or wealth lost through some of misfortune, so that when they have children, there's nothing left for them to inherit. So when everyone comes naked from their mother's womb, as everyone comes, so do they part. They take nothing from the toil so that they can't even have. So here we see at the end of the day, what matters is how you live. You
Amen.
Can't take your money to the grave.
Amen.
No money in the world can compare to righteousness here.
Mm.
So you have to live and worship God by your actions. It's not about how much money you gather in your whole lifespan. It's about how you honor God with your finances
Amen.
And how you spend the money.
Amen, amen, Sister Seven. And on our third point, teaching from Jesus on money and giving. Jesus said more about money than the topic of heaven and hell combined. Our attitude towards money and personal resources says so much about our life. Giving should flow from a pure heart that desires to meet a need. Again, like we said, he cares more about what's in the inside rather than what type of gift we're giving or the type of amount that we think we're giving. It's about having a willing heart. There's a subtle trap to avoid in our giving. It should not be in a way to draw attention to ourselves. We should give humbly. It is important to think beyond our earthly lives and ask how we can share what we've been giving to build God's kingdom. And
Amen.
Here, reading Matthew chapter 6, here Jesus is giving a teaching when he's saying that when you give to the needy, don't announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by others. Again, when people do it in a louder, boisterous manner, that is not needed because it shows that they want approval or that other people, that they're showing that they're giving. But here Jesus says that, truly I tell you, they have received the reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know that what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. Again, he gives here a parable of don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. And in this way, it's like, nobody, you make sure you give in private.
Amen.
And then going on into Matthew chapter 6, further along the line, he talks about how no one can serve two masters. Here he says, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. We cannot serve both God and
Amen.
Money. We need to know that God provides everything, and he also provides the money. So we need to trust in him and not in money.
Amen.
And then there's another parable that he gives in Luke chapter 12. And he's giving this parable that there's this rich man, and he's so rich that he doesn't have a place to store all his like blessings. So he said that he's going to, in going to scripture, he said, this is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores a thing for himself and not riches towards God. Here God is telling him, you fool. So it's us too. Like, why are we storing all this up? Like, who will get all of this when we leave? We
Amen.
Need to give our resources to God and to his purposes.
Amen. And the fourth key point here is generosity in action. And after Jesus' death, resurrection, and ascension to heaven, his followers committed to give their money generously to help the needy among them and fulfill God's purposes. And we see here that in Acts 4, it says all the believers were in one heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything that they had. So we see here that when we share as believers all together, we come together on one accord and share everything, we become one in heart and mind. And with great power, and God's grace was so powerful over them, at work with them, that there was no needy persons among them. So we see that when we share, there's no wrath with anyone. And from time to time, those who own land or houses sold them, they brought the money from the sales and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. We see here that whenever we give to the church, everyone
Amen.
Will be blessed.
Amen.
And we see here that the evidence of generosity of the early church can be seen in many circumstances. For instance, Paul encouraged the believers at Corinth to send an offering to their needy fellow believers in Jerusalem, something that the Corinthians had intended to do but had not finished. And we see here that Paul encourages them by saying, and now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know that the grace of God has given the Macedonian churches. So in the midst of everything, entirely on their own, he said that the Corinthians, they did this entirely on their own. Again, like he said, you have to be willing to give.
Amen.
He says here that he encourages them, and he says, but you, since you excel in everything, in faith and speech and knowledge, in complete earnestness and in the love we have kindled in you, see that you also excel in grace of giving.
Amen.
So here you see, when you excel in everything, you also excel in giving, because
mm-hmm.
it comes with it.
Mm-hmm.
Because giving is a spiritual gift.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And he says, I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnest of others.
Mm-hmm.
So love is an action word.
Mm-hmm.
So we see here that by giving, you're giving love onto the people
mm-hmm.
who need it.
Amen.
And here it says, last year you were the first not only to give, but also to have the desire to do, mm-hmm. so you have to have the desire to give. Mm-hmm. It must come out of your own free will and
uh-huh.
with your good heart and intent uh-huh. behind it.
Amen.
And he says, now finish the work so that your eager willingness to do may be matched with your completion according to your means. For if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable and according to one has, not according to what
mm-hmm.
one does not have.
Uh-huh.
So he would see that when the willingness is there, we're going to have everything we need.
Uh-huh. Amen.
But that there might be equality. So here it says all the believers want equality. We don't want more people that have more money or people have a gap between people.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be equality. And at the present time, your plenty will supply what they need, so that in turn, their plenty will supply what you need. The goal is equality here. Still is equality.
Mm-hmm.
And it says here, thanks to be God who put in you in the heart of Titus the same concern I have for you. And it says here that he was willing to give, and he's encouraging them to give. And he says this, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your own heart to give, not redundantly or on a compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. So here we've seen that you're not constrained or you're not forced to give, but if
mm-hmm.
you give generously, you will also reap generously. You will reap what you sow.
Amen, amen,
so
amen.
So you have to trust God, and God is able to bless you abundantly so that all things at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work.
Mm-hmm.
And there's going to be no lack in your life.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And you're not going to be able to reflect on how much lack you have in your life because you're focused on Jesus. When your mind
Amen.
Is focused on Jesus and how good he has been to you,
uh-huh.
you don't have the time to reflect if there's lack in your life. You
uh-huh.
don't have to doubt about that.
Amen.
And it says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge your harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion
mm-hmm.
and through us generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. So here we see that whenever you're giving, you will be enriched in every way, physically, financially,
Amen.
Relationally,
uh-huh.
spiritually,
uh-huh.
in every single way.
Uh-huh.
And it says here, this service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God because
mm-hmm.
of the service by which you have proved yourself. Others will praise God for the obedience and that accompanies the confession of the gospel of Christ and your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else.
Amen.
And their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because the surpassing grace thanks to be God for indescribable gifts. So here we see whenever you're obedient
uh-huh.
and you're able to be trusted with the money, people will see that. And it's, this is also honoring God. You give God the glory when
uh-huh.
you're being trusted with the money. So when God sees that you can be trusted with the money, he will give you more.
Uh-huh.
It shows that you trust the Lord to give you more.
Uh-huh.
It's because the selflessness, how Jesus was so selfless to give up his life for us, the least we can do is give up our 10% tithe.
Amen, amen, Sister Sharon. And many people see giving as a vocation, but it's really an act of worship of somebody who embraced in their heart key belief of Christian faith. The one and true God is good to us. He's provided the way of eternal salvation. He's provided us a life of prosperity. And when we accept this gift of life, we're given a new identity and called to a new purpose to fulfill God's mission on earth. And here, our mission is to glorify and build his kingdom, and here
amen.
To give our time and resources to him. Amen, amen. And now in the conclusion of our discussion, we're going to yield the floor to Sister Sharon so she can close off the prayer.
Father God, thank you. Thank you for giving us everything we need. Uh-huh. Thank you that there's no lack in our lives with you, Lord. You give us more than enough.
Amen.
Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Amen, amen.